This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump's envoy Steve Witkoff is in Moscow. He's meeting with Vladimir Putin as the U.S. continues efforts to end the war between Russia and Ukraine. Meanwhile, the world continues to prepare for fallout from the trade war that's focused on China.
They're really pushing back hard against the president's repeated claims that he is, in fact, engaging in talks and negotiations with China to end this trade war that he started. The president, in a new interview with Time magazine, says that he has spoken to President Xi, but China is pushing back on that, calling it fake news, saying there are no negotiations on tariff issues and no agreement has been reached.
That's ABC's Rachel Scott in Washington. Over 100,000 people have been online to pay their respects to Pope Francis and file past his coffin in St. Peter's Basilica ahead of tomorrow's funeral. It's expected to draw over 200,000 people. And sentencing day for former Congressman George Santos. Prosecutors seeking 7 years for wire fraud and identity theft. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
A former Avoca man is missing in Taylor County. Authorities in northern Wisconsin are seeking help in finding Jesse James Yansky. The Taylor County Sheriff's Office said that he was last seen around 9:30 last Thursday night and was reported missing out of Price County. He was last seen in Taylor County. The Taylor and Price County Sheriff's Departments, along with search and rescue teams, have been searching the area. Jesse Yansky was last seen in a black sweatshirt and jogging pants with black and white Hoka brand shoes. Anyone with information is asked to contact the Taylor County Sheriff's Office at 715-748-2200, extension 5. A letter from Wisconsin Democrats demands the Trump administration assist with lead remediation in Milwaukee public schools. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin and Congresswoman Gwen Moore are asking the administration to approve the MPS request for federal assistance. The Centers for Disease Control denied the request earlier this month, citing staffing shortages after Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. eliminated the agency's response team. Baldwin and Moore are also urging the administration to reinstate fired lead poisoning experts at the CDC. Democratic lawmakers introduced legislation to establish a statutory right to abortion in Wisconsin. State Senator Kelda Royce of Madison says Republican lawmakers have been focused on making abortion as difficult for people to access as possible. The Abortion Rights Restoration Act would remove the state's 1849 abortion ban, abortion medications, restrictions, and abortion coverage bans. It's unlikely to advance in the Republican-controlled legislature.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Packers add a wide receiver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the NFL draft in Green Bay, where the Packers picked Matthew Golden, a wide receiver out of Texas in the first round. Golden is only a junior, but the team is confident he's ready for the NFL. GM Brian Gutekunst.
I think because of the high school football and the way they throw it around, seven on sevens, and just some of the things that have changed on the lower levels, guys are coming in and making an impact quicker, and I certainly think Matthew has the opportunity to do that. Now, we got some good players in that room, so he's not going to have to kind of carry the load that way, but I think he has a chance to contribute, you know, not only as a receiver, but I think he's got some special team return ability as well that could help us.
I asked Golden on what made him successful at Texas.
Being reliable, man, you know, in critical situations, I always showed up. You know, when our back was against the wall, they could count on me, come out with a big play, and that's something I kept doing continuously. You know, I put my best foot forward.
NBA, the Bucks host the Pacers in game 3 of their playoff series tonight. The Brewers are in St. Louis to play the Cardinals. Milwaukee losing to the Giants 6-5. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy with scattered off and on showers likely today. Our high in the low to mid 50s this afternoon. The wind will be north at 5 to 15. Clear tonight in the mid 30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with highs in the upper 50s to low 60s. Sunshine, low to mid 60s by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 47.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Civic Media. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. Good morning, 8:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Friday morning, April 25th, 2025. Got a lot to cover today. We're going to be talking at the bottom of the hour here with Devin Remiker. He is the current executive director of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. He's also one of the candidates running to be the next state party chair for Wisconsin Democrats. So we will talk a bit about that coming up in our second half hour. But right now, we have Dr. Kristen Lyerly and we have meteorologist Brittany Merlot with us. We'll be talking about the draft. We will be talking about what we talked about with Kia Vakil in our 6 a.m. hour. A Texas legislator wants to pass a bill that would allow wastewater to be checked for abortion pills and birth control pills. Because, I mean, can big government get any bigger for these folks? And also, the Trump White House wants you to be out there making more babies, ladies. I could not say it any more smarmy if I tried.
So, I am doing my part, Pat.
You did your four boys. That's it. So we'll get into that in just a second. But first, Brittany is back with us to talk about the forecast where, again, Kristen, her boys were at the draft last night, and they escaped a lot of the rain, which was really nice. But you can't get away from it all day today, can you?
No, unfortunately. A few of that little bit of drizzle is moving through the Fox Valley right now. It's their first little bit of rain. And of course, a lot of it, the heavy, the steadier rain, is sitting just northwest of the Fox Valley. It is raining from pretty much northeast Wisconsin into Wausau all the way to La Crosse, and that is going to be shifting its way towards the lake and towards Green Bay, and it's going to be raining for a good chunk of the afternoon, pretty much from noon to 5. Expect some light rainfall. I'd say the heaviest is going to be coming down from 1 to 3. You are looking at about a quarter of an inch of rain headed your way today, and it's breezy, too, and chilly. Temperatures are only going to make it to 50 degrees in Green Bay. We're looking at some 40s only up north and some mid-50s down south for high temperatures. And of course, those winds are breezy too, gusting up to 30 miles per hour out of the north, keeping us cooler, adding a wind chill to that too. So of course, it's just damp, dreary, and raw out there. But we are going to see those clouds clear as we go through tonight. They're actually going to start clearing far northwest early this evening. So you may see some spots of sunshine, but by the lake and off to the east, it's going to wait till overnight. And tomorrow, we've got tons of sunshine on tap. It'll be beautiful. We'll hold on to that for most of the day on Sunday before more rain rolls in. And that looks to bring some strong to severe thunderstorms on Monday.
Now, I think a lot of folks for the draft were, you know, staying in hotels or, you know, Verbos or bed and breakfast areas. I'm sure a couple of people were in, you know, some campgrounds or, you know, maybe pitched a tent in somebody's front yard, which brings me to Dr. Lyerly, who is not that terribly far away from Lambeau Field. Did you rent out any of the rooms? Do you have anybody camping in your front yard for the draft? Did you make money off this in any way, shape or form?
I have not, but my house is full of kids, my own kids and other people's kids. So yes. I'm happy. And Brittany, I'd like a do-over. Could we please just like roll the dice again and have a different forecast?
I agree. Where's my magic eight ball, right?
Right.
I was like, why did Mother Nature pick this of all times? She couldn't.
That's luck of the draw. But like we were saying yesterday, it's a big storm system. There would have been a lot of NFL cities that would have gotten rain had the draft happened in their place. Robin Tigerton still with us saying, thank you, Kristen, for all you're doing to help motivate people. We are very lucky to have Kristen around. So,
thanks, Rob. Rob's the best.
Yes. Right. Brittany, thank you so much for the weather update. As always, you're the best.
Have a great day, Brittany.
You as well.
Kristen, so you were talking about maybe heading over to the draft, maybe getting on your bike and going on down there, but life got in the way.
My bike plan is tomorrow. I've got it all mapped out, Pat. Okay. So I have a meeting this afternoon that goes until about, when did you say the rain was going to end? 5? My meeting goes until about 5.
Oh.
And then I'm going to head down there. But my kids were down there last night. They had a blast. Did you hear about Clay Matthews?
Yes. And I did not want to rub it in on Dan when he was here just a moment ago because Steve McMichael's passing away and everything. But when Clay Matthews got up there and said, I have a message from the president, the Bears still suck, and the crowd goes wild. And it was such a great moment. And I did really like people might say it's gimmicky. I disagree. I liked it when the commissioner came out and along with some of the Packer players on kids' bikes.
Yeah.
Just like for training camp. I thought that was a nice touch.
They have a whole thing like that tomorrow morning. There are so many different events that are happening. There's food. There's all this like Wisconsin kitschy stuff. They went full bore Northeast Wisconsin. If you are in the area, please stop by the draft. They had to close the doors last night around, I don't know, 5:30 maybe, because it had reached capacity. People are so excited, having such a great time. And it's not just in the draft area. It's downtown. It's all around. You can just feel the buzz.
Here was my one question, though, when the parking lot basically filled up. It was like the world's best tailgate party, kind of, sort of. But then the spillover was in the stadium. They said, just go on in the stadium. You could see the bowl starting to fill up with fans. There's my question. I'm sure the bathrooms were open. They better have been. But were there concession stands open if you were in there? Because if there weren't, then you were just sitting there, on the bleachers watching the Jumbotron. But then you decided you were hungry or something. You were kind of out of luck.
I'm pretty sure they were. I mean, I wasn't there and I didn't hear firsthand, but I'm pretty sure they were.
Okay.
And there's so much food, like in the whole area, there are so many food trucks and local folks who brought in. I mean, it's cheesecake. It's the stuff that we're used to, but the rest of the country doesn't know about. Remember when the world discovered fried cheese curds?
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
We were like, yeah, of course.
I was talking last night with some folks who were watching the draft, and, they're about my age as well, but they spent their childhood in Wisconsin, and they said, I'm old enough to remember cheese curds weren't always the big deal that they are. It was just like, well, here's some leftover whey. We should do something with it. And, much like it reminds me of how buffalo, chicken wings, buffalo wings used to not be a big deal. People thought wings were like the scrap, and somebody got the idea to market those and make a killing, and now we all think chicken wings are the best, and the same goes for cheese curds. That was just some leftover product.
It's true.
Everybody loves these now.
Yep, and they've got some really fun beers on tap with really cool, like very Wisconsin names. It's a love fest for Wisconsin.
Yeah. Let's see. From the text line here, Matt in Germantown, back to our history lesson, we missed the most important birthday today, he writes. Mine. Matt.
Happy birthday, Matt.
There you go. Happy birthday to you. Thanks for writing in. A lot of texts, a lot of comments today. I will not get to them all. And I just wanted to thank everybody for putting something in, especially when you put what city you're listening in or what town. We love to hear that and get a feel for where everybody is out there. Oh, how do we get into this? Let's go in by People Magazine. When People Magazine is covering something from the Trump administration, you understand this is a big deal. Here's the headline. Trump's team ponders how to make women have more babies. One idea was part of Hitler and Stalin's playbook. Ideas for parenting incentives, such as a National Medal of Motherhood for six-time moms, comes amid steadily declining birth rates across the U.S. And they've talked about, like, one idea is to give a $5,000 cash baby bonus to American mothers when they give birth. Kristen, you've given birth to four nice baby boys. Tell me what $5,000 would do to entice somebody to have a baby in this day and age.
What I really want to talk about is comparing Hitler's plan versus Stalin's. I would go with Hitler because he starts at four kids and Stalin starts at six.
That's right. It does. Yes.
So, and it's a cool looking medal, except for the swastika in the middle of it. Apparently people wore it with pride. I did a little research last night.
Good.
Also, the cost of producing these medals and all of the stuff around giving the medals, it was extensive. And in Hitler's world, they took away military medals to focus on these, like, mom-producing baby medals. That's how important this was in the Nazi regime. So this is a whole thing that they are tapping into. That's not surprising when we're hearing about things like registries of people with autism and some of these other things that they've borrowed from the Nazi Party.
And, of course, grabbing people off the streets. Yeah. So, I mean, can we look? People are going to say, don't trash motherhood. I'm not trashing motherhood.
No.
Let's call this what it is, kids. It's race-based.
Yeah.
If you're trying to round up all the brown people and ship them off to camps and try to restrict migration, but you're basically saying, let's have more American babies, we know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We know what you're talking about because it's exactly what they were doing in Germany and in Russia. How about you just embrace the fact that we are a nation of migrants, migrant labor. We have such a worker shortage here. But even if you skip that, Kristen, again, $5,000 versus, say, childcare assistance, health insurance, paid family leave. I mean, there are things they could actually do that new moms would love to see.
Yeah. You know, if we would just invest into our infrastructure, if we could make sure that everybody had access to quality, affordable health care, and I'm talking about not just when you're pregnant, but all the time. If we really want to make America healthy again, make sure people can get to the doctor when they're sick. Because I don't know about you, Pat, I used to be able to afford that. Now it's really expensive. That's why people are getting so much information off of TikTok, because they can't afford to go to the doctor. So how about we make our health system affordable, accessible. In rural areas, we know that people who are having babies in rural areas have twice the likelihood of having a bad outcome because they can't get to the doctor. It's just not there for them. They can't afford health care. So start there and then expand to child care. Let's make sure that child care is accessible and affordable. How about housing? Let's make sure that people can live in houses that they can afford, that they have food that they can afford. Do you know what the number one reason is why people don't want to have babies? Pew did a study on this. The number one reason is they don't want to. They don't want to because of the number two reason, the state of the world. So how about we solve some problems and make the state of the world better so we can all be healthier, and then we're going to have babies. I like that idea better.
Every day for some 500 radio shows now, I end the show going, I wonder if I have a clip that I could turn into a video for social media. And some days it's really easy. Thank you, Kristen, for that. Now I got to end on something that is as troubling as it is funny in its own weird way, that there are Texas legislators who want to introduce a bill that would require water utilities to test the wastewater for chemical byproducts related to the use of the abortion pill or birth control pill. And they're doing it, of course, under the guise of environmental protection. This is wackadoodle stuff.
Great idea, fellas.
Yeah.
Yep. You're doing a great job, Brownie. I don't even know what to say. Obviously, this is ridiculous. If we're trying to cut waste, fraud, and abuse, this is a program that's going to cost money and it's going to result in what?
Investigations of women, of course. It's like, okay, somewhere they're going to narrow it down. It's like, okay, now we're going to look at the water just in this quadrant and then the water just here. And it can't possibly get any more Handmaid's Tale goofball than that. But this is Texas, boys and girls. And by the way, we talked about this with Kia Vakil, and he's got a strong reaction to it, too, in our 6 a.m. hour. So head over to the Civic Media website or get the show by podcast, and you can listen back to some of our past hours. Still ahead this hour, Devin Remiker, candidate for state Democratic Party chair. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Your Republican Senator Howard Markline wants to unconstitutionally raise your utility bills after President Trump promised Wisconsin ratepayers he would cut energy bills in half. Trump's DOJ has already weighed in on ROFR legislation in other states and called out the significant harm it would cause consumers if passed. Call Senator Howard Markline at 608-266-0703 and tell him to stand with President Trump and the Constitution by voting no on ROFR. Paid for by the Electricity Transmission Competition Coalition.
Warm up your taste buds at Utter Brothers Creamery in Boscobel. They've got delicious homemade soups now available, sold by the bowl or pint. Craving something comforting? Try their chicken noodle or hearty chili, perfect for chilly days. And don't forget the cheesy broccoli and bacon cheeseburger soups for a unique twist. Pair your soup with tasty snacks like mac and cheese bites or pretzel bites with cheese. Utter Brothers is your go-to for delicious homemade goodness. Call them at 608-391-3120 and come on down to Boscobel today.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight.
Your timing, good fellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like security, and you're saying, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And wow. He said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Celebrate Earth Day with the Savor Farm and Food Tour. Savor the River Valley's Earth Day Farm and Food Tour showcases local farms and food businesses who are producing and processing food in ways that provide delicious, wholesome food and also protect soil, water, and air quality. The free self-guided tour will be held Saturday from 10 to 4. It features stops at various locations from Plain through Lone Rock, Spring Green and Arena to Ridgeway, showcasing more than a dozen local businesses and organizations. Tour stops include Cedar Grove Cheese and Plain, where you can learn about premium cheese made the old-fashioned way from local cow, sheep, and goat milk at this family-owned business. Visit the newly renovated Living Machine Water Treatment Plant, taste grilling cheese and other samples. At Tortillas Zapita in Lone Rock, you can taste what happens when local non-GMO organic corn is put through a process to make tortillas. Steadfast Acres will have herb and cool season vegetable plants for sale at the Octagon Barn's annual barn sale in Spring Green. Steadfast Acres farmers will be on hand to give you tips on how to grow your new plants. Also, from 11:30 to 2, Reunion Family Barbecue will be serving barbecue pork sandwiches on freshly baked milk buns paired with a selection of classic southern sides, all made with locally sourced ingredients. While in the Spring Green area, join the Taliesin Kitchen Gardener for a 30-minute tour of the Taliesin Garden and Farm from 10:30 to noon. Please pre-register for this free tour at taliesinpreservation.org/events. The Spring Green General Store will host local honey producer Judy Robb of Vanda Honey. She will tell you about the life of a honeybee and what it takes to make a teaspoon of honey. If you like chocolate, stop by the Red Barn Catering Kitchen in Spring Green for a truffle-making demo with plenty of tasty treats to try. You can also sample Miller's Artisan Bagels, which can be purchased at Wander Provisions across from the Spring Green General Store. In Arena, you can pet baby lambs at Ducks in a Row Family Farm. Tours of this pasture-based livestock and organic vegetable farm at 11 and 2:30 will explain how these farmers produce 100% grass-fed meats, eggs, and fiber year-round. At Elderflower Retreat at Savannah Institute's Hillside Pastures in Spring Green, sample perennial fruits and nuts that grow in the region and participate in a beverage tasting for research. At 10:15 and 3:15, hear a short presentation by Lily Hislop, tree crop breeder at Savannah Institute, about the resurgence of the U.S. forbidden fruit, black currants. You can also visit with Canopy Farm Management to learn about Canopy Compass, a free and easy-to-use mapping tool that answers the question, which perennial crops are suitable for my land? At 1 o'clock, you can tour Seven Seeds in Spring Green, an organic regenerative farm that raises and sells grass-fed beef, pastured pork, and chicken. While there, you can also visit the UW-Madison Grassland 2.0 interactive exhibit to see how strengthening connections between farmers and eaters supports the viability of farms and communities. Local chef Chance Spivey will be smashing burgers made from Seven Seeds beef for purchase from 11:30 until 1. Burgers should be ordered in advance on Seven Seeds' website, sevenseedsorganicfarm.com. Between noon and 4, you can stop by Future Fruit Farm in Ridgeway to get a taste of organic, antique, and exotic varieties of apples and pears. During guided tours at 12:30 and 3, you can find out how this mother-daughter duo use organic and regenerative practices to grow fruit bursting with flavor. See how farmers at Meadowlark Farm and Mill in Ridgeway use diverse crop rotation cover crops, cattle grazing, and organic production methods to regenerate the land while providing high-quality culinary grain, corn, and beans. Guided mill tours will be at 11:30 and 2. Throughout the day, kids can enjoy seed planting, a sensory station, and grain-themed coloring pages. The tour will wrap up from 4 to 8 with wood-fired pizza and drinks from homecoming, plus live music and a bonfire at Twin Creeks Blueberry Farm in Spring Green. Savor the River Valley is a grassroots initiative to connect farmers, food processors, food retailers, and restaurants to support each other and to bring more visibility to what they produce, sell, and serve. For more information about Savor the River Valley, plus a tour brochure and interactive map, go to savortherivervalley.org/events. It's time for this week's Richland County History Moment with Richland County Historical Society President Ken Theed.
The town of Gillingham. And now for a Richland County Historical Society History Moment. Here's the rest of the story. According to the 1972 Richland County Atlas, Gillingham, it's nestled between the hills in a rather narrow valley that lies what we know as the town of Gillingham. It's located in the town of Marshall in an unglaciated part of Wisconsin, hence the hills. The town is spread out nearly a mile with lots of scenic beauty, lovely farms, neat buildings, and herds of dairy cattle. The first Gillingham Post Office was established in 1881, and it was housed in connection with a store by J.B. Gillingham Sr. In 1931, the two-story building burned, and the present one, a one-story building, was there built. The first mercantile business in the township of Marshall was carried on by Joseph Marshall, who later sold it to George Crosscup. He also handled the purchasing and sale of ginseng. The Presbyterian Church of Fancy Creek was organized on June 11, 1859, by the Reverend J.H. Mathers. As the congregation grew smaller, and finally because it reduced to just six families, it was decided in 1959 to transfer to Richland Center and be a part of that Presbyterian Church. The church was demolished in 1962. The Evangelical United Brethren Church is still well kept. It's a frame building just off Highway 56. The farms in the community are purely a dairy and agriculture nature, the most common size being around 140 acres and commonly 20 cows per farm. Several of the farmers have maple sugar saps that range from 20 to 30 trees up to as many as 150, and on one farm, 550 trees. Listen next week for the history of Richland County, covering the Gage Building on Court Street.
Today's forecast calls for showers this morning with a high near 56. I'm Joanne Krulotz.
News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. International students across the country are discovering that their legal status and student visas are being terminated or revoked with little notice. An Associated Press review of university statements, correspondence with school officials, and court records has, as of Wednesday, tallied at least 1,118 students at 177 colleges, universities, and university systems have had their visas revoked or their legal status terminated since late March. Closer to home, a local judge has prevented the Trump administration from deporting a second UW-Madison student. According to the Wisconsin State Journal, 21-year-old Allison Yang, a Chinese student at the business school. She's set to graduate in about 2 weeks and works as an actuarial assistant before grad school. But her visa was revoked April 4th. She had a speeding ticket, and that may be the basis of her deportation. The paper reports a federal judge in Madison ruled that revoking her visa was, quote, an abuse of discretion, and a speeding ticket is not a valid reason to deport someone. The judge's ruling says if she had to go home, she would have spent more than $130,000 and not get her degree. On top of that, he mentioned the psychological impact, saying she's now in constant fear and doesn't want to leave her room, worried that immigration authorities will arrest her. The Trump administration has revoked the visas of at least 40 students across the UW system. Students have begun to file lawsuits across the country, with a number of temporary restraining orders granted in lawsuits from New Hampshire, Montana, and Wisconsin. Today's forecast calls for showers this morning with a high near 56. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There will be a new pope soon, and thanks to the movie Conclave, more people know how the new pope will actually be selected. As it turns out, after Pope Francis passed away earlier in the week, people are even more curious as they are streaming the living daylights out of the film. The film was nominated for Best Picture at this year's Oscars and stars John Lithgow, Stanley Tucci, Ralph Fiennes, and Isabella Rossellini. Good film. My money's on Isabella or John Lithgow. Ben Affleck and Matt Damon have experienced tremendous success in Hollywood since their hit film Good Will Hunting. Affleck appeared on the Today Show earlier this week to promote The Accountant 2, which opens this weekend. When shown a shirtless picture of Accountant 2 co-star John Bernthal next to a shirtless Damon, who looks completely shredded at 54, Affleck started teasing him about his physique. Affleck teased him again on the set of Access Hollywood. It's always tough to see your ex get in shape. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy with scattered off and on showers likely today. Our high in the low to mid 50s this afternoon. The wind will be north at 5 to 15. Clear tonight in the mid 30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with highs in the upper 50s to low 60s. Sunshine, low to mid 60s by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 47.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch The Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross, calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that, where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, we talk with former Maryland governor and former Social Security Secretary Martin O'Malley, and we debunk some of the biggest whoppers of lies being told about Social Security. And yes, Donald Trump is trying to break the system.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
I know it's radio, but I still want to thank Adam in Oregon, Wisconsin, for using the text line to send us a photo from the draft last night. And he was in a great spot in the crowd there. Wonderful lighting, just a mass of people, and all look like they're having a good time. I've heard nothing but good things, you know, so far that came out of it. And the Packers drafted a receiver. Who'd have thunk? What amazing times that we live in. So round two of the draft will be this evening. Hopefully the rain that Brittany talked about falling throughout the course of the day today will let up just in time for the second round, and that things go smoothly tomorrow for the rest of the draft as well. So that's the big event this weekend. For Wisconsin Democrats, there's a big event coming up in mid-June. There will be the usual state party convention. Republicans do the same thing. And in these off years, is typically when they have elections for positions like chair of the state party. And Ben Wickler has been the state party chair for these past 6 years and is stepping down, not running for another term. That has opened up the field so far with three candidates running for that slot. We're going to talk to one in just a second. First, want to remind you that we talked to Joe Zepecki yesterday. We've talked to him frequently on Thursdays, and he announced his candidacy on the show a week ago, gave us an update yesterday. We heard from William Garcia on Wednesday. He is the chair of the 3rd Congressional District Democrats, and we have put that interview up on our YouTube page. So head over to the Up North News YouTube page, and you can see that to learn more about him. And we're going to do the same thing with the next candidate that we're going to be talking to right here, Devin Remicker from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin and candidate to be the next chair. Devin, good morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic. You already mentioned that we took for the first time in 23 years an offensive weapon, a wide receiver last night in the draft, so I'm feeling pretty great.
Yes, I mean that it's a great new chapter here, and it'll be a new chapter for the state Democratic Party as well. We caught you here before you hit the road, and I know all three of you and any others who might get in the race. I mean, there is nothing but road work involved here, especially this time of year. You've got the congressional district level conventions that are happening this weekend and scattered throughout the course of the calendar here. So you're getting up there. And you are a familiar name to me. You are a familiar name to party stalwarts throughout Wisconsin. For all the convention delegates, some are active, some are a little less active. They may have heard the name, but they haven't met the person yet. So we love that we've got this radio program where folks who are running for office like yourself, we can just open it up, give you the platform, and say, all right, what is it you're doing with the party right now, Devin Remicker? And what would you like to do as chair? Tell us all about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And great to be here. So I am currently on leave from the party, where I've been a senior advisor to the party since the end of 2023. And I'm on leave because I want to make sure that as I'm running for this position, there's no sense of impropriety about my role with the party here at the convention. But for me, this is a really great opportunity to do something that used to be much more central to my role, which is getting out there and talking to folks all over the state. I've had the honor and the privilege of working for two chairs of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. First chair, Martha Lanning, and most recently, for the past almost 6 years now, Chair Ben Wickler. And I think he has just left us a fantastic foundation to build upon. I was served as his executive director for almost half of his tenure. And I really got to see firsthand what it takes to run the party at the level that it's currently operating at, where we have budgets in excess of almost 50 million. We have over 200 staff in almost all of these election cycles. And it's a pretty big machine. And I think that machine needs a little bit of fine tuning in places. But it's something that I don't want to see that we have to hit the brakes on this year. I want to be able to hit the gas, because I think that Democrats have the rare opportunity in 2026 to have the right maps and, hopefully, knock on wood, the right political environment to be able to win a trifecta and do the thing that I think a lot of Democrats are hoping to do, which is get off defense and go on offense and pass the progressive policy agenda that improves people's lives. So I'm in this race because I think I'll be ready on day one to grab that baton from Ben and run with it.
We're going to continue to look ahead at what the Democratic Party of Wisconsin needs, but let me just look back a little bit longer and ask you a bit more about your prior to working at the Democratic Party. You have ample experience with candidates and elected officials that have taken you to where you are today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I started my career with State Representative Steve Doyle, actually, who for a long time has been the Democrats that has held the most Republican district in this state. He essentially has all of La Crosse County, except for the city of La Crosse, or at least when I worked for him, he did. And it really sort of helped me, I think, get a thorough understanding of how Democrats can win and how we need to win and reach voters, especially in rural areas, and sort of 50-50 toss-up parts of the state, which I sort of backed up by then going to work for Congressman Ron Kynes in the sprawling 3rd Congressional District. I started first as his field director and eventually became his campaign manager from 2016 through the start of 2018. But that was really a great experience. You know, we had 18 counties in the Congressional District. It's also the Congressional District with the most UW campuses and the most UW students in the state. And I think it really helped me sort of understand how things can be incredibly different in different parts of the state. You know, Eau Claire is different than La Crosse, is different than Portage, is different than Jackson, Pepin, Buffalo, you name it. And I think there's definitely different needs and struggles from both county parties and the people in those areas. And I think that working for Congressman Kynes really, really ingrained in me a sense of how we need to make sure that we're reaching folks everywhere, not just in major cities.
Yeah, that has always been a key point with anybody running for any kind of leadership position in the state Democratic Party, is to have this broad statewide view of what to do, and that there isn't a one-size-fits-all system. Before I get to that almost local level of things, I do want to say, just from a 30,000-foot view, your feeling on where the Democratic Party overall needs to go. And I say that in light of a very good outcome for Democrats, seeing Susan Crawford elected to the Supreme Court, but months earlier seeing Donald Trump win the state of Wisconsin again. There's been no shortage of postmortem pieces. Most recently, Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich wrote something in Dan Schaefer's Recombobulation Area, and we will have him on the show Tuesday to hear his view of where the Democratic Party should go from here. But since everybody else is giving their view, we want to hear that from you as well. In light of recent events, both good and bad, where do you feel the Democratic Party of Wisconsin needs to go to maintain its successes, but then also pick up ground where it still needs to do, run like races for the White House and congressional district seats?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that the Democratic Party here in the state of Wisconsin is incredibly strong. I think we have a strong set of leaders. I think that what we really need to do is make sure that we are reaching folks everywhere and not depending on somebody coming to save us from any sort of national committee or national campaign. And I know that's been a focus of our work for years, but I think that we saw, particularly in 2024, to me, the biggest gap between sort of our message, and I think it's easy to say, you know, here's the combination of words that everyone's going to be saying this cycle, or here's the magic set of words that we think is going to win people over. But I think just as important as the words that we say is how we say them, how we approach conversations with people, how authentic that we and our candidates appear. And I think that, you know, for as much as it makes Democrats and myself pull my hair out when people say, well, Donald Trump just, you know, says what he means. And, you know, he seems authentic, despite the fact that many of the things he says are completely horrendous and objectionable. I think that sometimes voters just aren't buying what we're selling, even when they agree with us on the issues. And we know that they agree with us on the issues, whether it's protecting Social Security, protecting the right to choose, protecting our very democracy. People agree with us sort of fundamentally, but they just don't always buy it when we're trying to say it. And I think that part of that is sometimes when we are engaging in conversation with voters. And just listening to Pete Buttigieg, you know, speak about this as well, it often feels like we are commanding people to come with us instead of inviting them to come with us, and leaving space for there to be that, you know, 25% to 20% to 10% disagreement. And I think that can be alienating to folks at a time when we need to sort of be making our tent even bigger. And I think that one thing I really want to do at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin is sort of really make sure that when we're doing things like deep canvassing over the course of this year, or when we are training more messengers for our party. And I think that, you know, we can't be competitive if we're only knocking on people's doors once a year. And we are losing the battle on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, local buy and sell pages, news and information pages. People are just getting saturated with messaging every other one of those 364 days a year where we're not knocking on their door. And I think that we need to both empower people with better information, better messaging, yes, but also the tools and the training and the confidence to be able to use it in a way that will bring people with us instead of leaving people behind, because politics is ultimately the art of addition.
And I can say an amen to that one point. In fact, of the folks putting things in the comment section, the one that stuck out is all of the texts, all of the emails, everything that's about the fundraising. And yet, fundraising is an important, you know, component. The next chair will have to be mindful of fundraising, as well as messaging, as well as organizing the party at the state level and then at the local level as well, which is where I want to take us now to that local level. And you know, from me as being a former chair, county chair for Chippewa County, you know, there's county chairs and county party members all throughout greater Wisconsin that have at times felt, you know, like their input is falling on deaf ears, not getting the resources they need and things like that. So as you talk to folks all over the state in your travels, like you will be in Hayward this weekend, what do you tell them about, you know, how you will run things if you are the next state chair?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think a fundamental part of my platform is having a 72 county strategy. And I think that has been talked about before in Democratic politics. But what I mean it as is I want to have 72 county strategies. So I think that we have had a laser focus on organizing at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. I think that's yielded fantastic results. But as I was just saying, I don't think knocking on doors is enough, particularly at this moment in time in which we are seeing widespread backlash to the Trump administration, even in places that you wouldn't normally expect to see that. I was just talking to the county party chair in Kenosha, and they had 150 people in Union Grove last weekend, you know, taking a stand. And I think in order to be able to sort of capture all the energy that's out there in the biggest sort of funnel possible and make sure it stays with us heading into 2026 when we have so many critical elections, we need to support county parties everywhere. And I think that starts with making sure that we have a team of folks that are actually dedicated to working with them, going county by county, figuring out if they need more help with membership, more help with leadership. As you know, it's hard to be a chair. It's hard to do it cycle after cycle. And we need to make sure that folks feel supported and have.
Devin Remiker is a candidate for the state party
really
chair.
If I'm elected chair, to be able to hire a team of folks who don't have, you know, with our organizing. Sorry.
Devin, that's okay. Devin Remiker is candidate for state party chair for the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Hey, remember, you can follow my team all day long at upnorthnewswi.com. And of course, right here mornings across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitler reminding you, never settle for anyone who wants this nation to take a shortcut on its full promise of liberty and justice for all. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code EARN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Check out my war plans. Pete Hegseth talking about first big strike against the Houthis in Yemen on Signal, two separate channels. Yes, the one you heard about before with the reporter on it. Oops-a-daisy. And now also his wife, his bro, and his lawyer who magically got hired by the Pentagon. This guy's judgment could not be worse. Do you think Hegseth should probably resign?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight.
Your timing, Goodfellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like security, and you're like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And Paul Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's a look at sports in Southwest Wisconsin. I am Phil Nee. The Richland Center High School softball team lost in 9 innings to Dodgeville 4-3 last night. The Hornets continue to play the Southwest Conference contenders in close games. Freshman Kyrie Fisher had 3 hits in 4 at-bats, including a solo home run in the second inning. The Hornets broke a 1-1 tie in the 5th when Ella Clements had an RBI ground out. Then a bases-loaded walk to Tatum Razick pushed home a run, and Richland Center led 3-1. Emma Doherty hit a double that tied the game in the bottom of the 7th, and the teams played 2 more innings before the Dodgers won the game on a walk-off single by Riley Forsyth in the bottom of the 9th. Kyrie Fisher pitched 8 1/3 innings for the Hornets, giving up 8 hits and 4 runs, 1 earned. She struck out 7 and walked 5. Ava Lord pitched for Dodgeville and surrendered 5 hits and 3 runs over 9 innings, striking out 6 and walking 4. Richland Center is scheduled to host Mauston in a non-conference softball game tonight at 5. The Hornets will honor the 1996 WIAA state qualifying team between the varsity and JV games approximately at 6:30. Ithaca, 11. Kickapoo, 1. Ariana Lewis gave up a total of 4 hits. She struck out 4 and walked 1. Maddie Townsend suffered the loss for Kickapoo. Ithaca's catcher Holly King picked off 3 of 4 steal attempts last night. Kelsey Coleman was 1 for 1 with a couple of walks, 2 RBIs and a home run. Emma Hilby, 2 for 3. Maylie Plemer, 1 for 3 with 2 RBIs and a home run. And Alyssa Muller was 1 for 2 with an RBI. Hits for Kickapoo: Haley Peterson, Michaela Kaufman, Gwen Fredrickson, and Maddie Townsend. Fenimore over Darlington. Final score was 6-1. Also, Cuba City got a 12-0 win over Riverdale. Waseca Steuben 10-5 over DeSoto. Mineral Point 12 and Iowa Grant 11. Mount Horeb 5-2 over Baraboo. Seneca 20, North Crawford 6. Platteville got the win against Lancaster 3-2. River Valley edged Prairie du Chien 6-5. For Weston last night, an 18-12 win for Lafarge. The Silver Eagles had 11 hits, led by Lily Cass, going 3 for 5 with a double. 2 RBIs, Haley McGlynn, Lexi Rockweiler, and Khalise Siebenaller all had 2 hits in the game last night. The Eagles continue to make improvements for coach Larry Villiard. In baseball news from last night, it was a win for Weston over Lafarge. That final was 21-0. Trevor Westfall took care of business on the mound, pitching a complete 5-inning game in 57 pitches. Weston had 26 hits on the night. Hunter Coy, 4 for 4 with a double, 4 RBIs, and 3 runs scored. Isaac Jennings, 4 for 4 with a triple and a home run, 4 RBIs, and 3 runs scored. Also, Blake Bingham had 3 RBIs. Ryan Greenwood with 3 hits. Garrett Jennings, 3 for 4 as well. Gavin Cast, 3 for 4. Brady Westfall was 2 for 4 with a double last night. Garrett Granger and Trevor Westfall all had hits for the Silver Eagles. It was a win yesterday for Ithaca. They got by Kickapoo 4-1 in Ridge and Valley Conference play. Caden Keller had 2 hits. Devin Iam pitched a little over 6 innings to get the win. He walked 4 and struck out 11. Caden Keller came on in relief as the Bulldogs nailed it down. Evan Wallace and Brenton Ewing each had 2 hits for Kickapoo. Evan Wallace was the pitcher that suffered the loss. He struck out 6 and walked 1. Platteville was a winner over Riverdale. Final score 12-7 in baseball. Southwestern 9-7 over Belmont. Iowa Grant 8-2 over Monticello Albany. Lancaster 7, Darlington 4. It was Bangor 8-2 over Cashton. DeSoto 10-7 over Boscobel. GET beat Westby 9-6. Also last night on the baseball diamonds, Seneca 4-0 over North Crawford. Reedsburg 2-0 over Edgewood. Brookwood 12-0 over Waniwax Center. In high school soccer from last night, Richland Center lost to Dodgeville Mineral Point 8-0. River Valley edged Prairie du Chien River Ridge Seneca 4-3. Track results from last night in Royal: Ithaca Weston involved. Tristan Peterson was 2nd in the 100 hurdles. Also, 8th place finish for Maggie Kirshner with a personal record. 300 hurdles, Tristan Peterson 1st place. Faith Tanichka was 9th in the 800. 1st place finish for Tristan Peterson in the long jump. Bailey Wanless with a personal record in the discus, finishing 10th. And Faith Stanichka also with a PR and 11th place in the discus. For the boys, the 4x8 relay team was first with a time of 9:06.59. Sam Jones, John Hash, Brayson Garcia-Boland, and Clayton Lee ran that for Ithaca Weston. The 100-yard dash, Baltizer Kaiser with a 9th-place finish. 1,600 run, Deacon McDonough was 4th with a personal record. Gage Busher was 12th in the 400. Baltasar Kaiser, 9th in the 200. Connor Montez, 5th in the 3,200. And a triple jump finish for Gage Busher was 10th. 12th for John Hash. In the discus throw, Deacon McDonough is 5th and 10th in shot put. A couple of relay teams did really well. The 4x4 was 2nd. Sam Jones, John Hash, Deacon McDonough, and Clayton Lee. and a first place finish last night as well in the 800 for Clayton Lee, fourth for Brayson Garcia-Bolin, and 12th for Connor Montes. That's a look at how it went last night in Royal. Going on tonight, River Valley is playing baseball at Prairie du Chien. There's also baseball for Richland Center tonight. The Hornet baseball team is at Dodgeville. The Richland Center softball team, as we mentioned earlier, is taking on Mauston at home. The Ithaca softball team is at Riverdale this afternoon. Ithaca JV baseball is at Baraboo. Riverdale in action tonight for baseball. They're at Iowa Grant. And Kickapoo will be playing softball at Viroqua High School. Sting Night going on tomorrow night at Richland Center High School. The Hall of Fame and College Signing, 4:30 for the doors to open, 5:30. The Hall of Fame inductees will be officially inducted into the Richland Center School Hall of Fame. Brian Strang, Bruce Wilson, Greg Vitesnik, Richard Dick Newman, and the 1983 Class B State Champion Girls Track Team at Richland Center will all be honored. Our sports update continues. In fact, we'll be on hand tonight at Richland Center High School as the Hornets take on Mauston, and they will be honoring the 1996 state qualifying Richland Center softball team. Many of those players will be back. We'll take air around 4:45 today on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com. First pitch time around 5 o'clock. We also may have some guest color commentators from that team joining us for the broadcast tonight. I'm Phil Nee with a look at sports from Southwest Wisconsin on this Friday morning.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump and former President Biden will both attend Pope Francis's funeral at the Vatican. Departing the White House, President Trump said there will also be other events on his agenda.
We're going to meet with a lot of the foreign leaders. They want to meet. Trade deals are going very well.
President said there have been talks with China, but Chinese officials call that fake news as the trade war continues. There's more scrutiny on Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, whose press spokesman denies that he had the commercial app Signal on a computer in his Pentagon office. Sources tell ABC News that computer was connected to an unsecured commercial internet line without any firewall protection. Former Congressman George Santos will be sentenced today after pleading guilty to fraud charges. Prosecutors are seeking 7 years in prison. Santos's lawyers say he should serve 2 years. This is ABC News.